On our podcast, Choose Love, we pull back and look at the big, universal idea of love and zoom in on the rich details of love stories. You'll tune in to hear an uplifting story. You'll leave knowing a little more about yourself and the everyday magic of falling in love. Take what you need. These stories belong to each of us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Lisa
and Rebecca,
and we are here on The Secret Life of Weddings.
If you like drama, you're in the right place,
where we tell you the world's craziest but true wedding stories. So get ready for the drama on The Secret Life of Weddings. Hello, y'all. It's episode 122 of The Secret Life of Weddings podcast. This is Lisa.
And Rebecca.
What is going on with you, Rebecca?
Oh, the usual.
The usual. You know. Yeah. It's a nice Saturday morning. And in the Saturday morning, we have wedding news as we do every single week. Let's get to it.
Okay. According to the Vancouver Sun, the township of Langley, which is being sued over a deck collapse in April that resulted in dozens of wedding guests being injured, has filed court documents claiming the deck was built illegally. The home had a large outdoor deck that was attached to the main residence and above a concrete slab. While guests were congregating on the deck to take photos, it suddenly and without warning gave away, causing some of the guests to fall from the deck onto the concrete below or onto other guests. One neighbor reported hearing a deafening boom as the deck came down. More than a dozen lawsuits filed in BC Supreme Court by injured guests claim that the township was negligent in a number of ways, including that it failed to employ a reasonable inspection at the home. So, yeah, a lot of broken bones and whatnot, and everyone's filing a suit.
Yikes.
But they didn't have an inspection done. So I think it's going to fall on the homeowners, really.
No, the inspection actually is a duty that comes to the by the municipality, from what I understand.
Well, the problem is that they didn't file for a building permit either. So,
oh, they didn't?
No. So the township wouldn't have known about it.
Oh, it doesn't say that. That's why I was like,
yeah.
Okay. Because if they filed for the permit and went
yes,
through the process,
agree.
Because I'm
yeah.
learning about this right now,
yeah.
the municipality actually has to send an inspector, right?
Yes.
So it this reads like, oh, they just didn't send the guy. But if
for sure,
if
yeah.
they didn't get it built with a permit, that's on the homeowner 100%.
So apparently, yes, the town said that they didn't even file for a permit. Mm-hmm. So now it's like a whole proving he said, she said, and trying to find the documents and what have you. So
fun.
Should be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Let's follow that. So we want to put, are we putting all of wedding guest attire in the fuck it bucket? Let's all go naked. Is that what we're recommending officially now? That's our position.
Well, you know, there's been a number of posts I've noticed. This is why I put this in there this week. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, couples having a say in their guest's wedding attire.
Oh.
You know, sending out,
yeah.
you know, requests for you to wear this or that or, you know, kind of like the all white wedding or white attire wedding. Just want to clarify. I was like, that probably didn't come across, or maybe it did. I don't
I'm
know.
Not editing out. It's too funny.
Yeah.
No, I 100% agree, because I don't own much of anything like that's white, and I wouldn't want to wear it in public if I did. And I agree. Just stop telling people what to wear. Did you see that article recently about a bride who dictated what people should wear based on their weight?
Yes.
Holy crap.
Yes. And not sadly, that's not the only one. I came across numerous articles about this. You guys can Google it yourself. I'm not going to put all of them in here, of course. But yeah, it's crazy. It goes from that to, you know, to be fair, I've been invited to a wedding where they suggested, like, you know, what you could wear. And they only did that because they didn't want you to feel like you had to be formal, and they were just kind of giving ideas. So they were like, you know, a casual dress or this or that, you know, like
that's fine.
They just gave ideas,
yeah.
right? Which I appreciate doing that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of the times and you've seen in wedding groups yourself, Lisa, is people saying, oh, should I wear this? Is this okay to wear? Is this too fancy? Is this not fancy enough? You know, a lot of people don't know. And it's hard to know, especially if it's maybe an outdoor wedding or
destination.
destination wedding. So, you know, it's good to have like a little bit of a, oh, you guys can wear this business casual or whatever.
Like
right?
Guidelines.
Yes, 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 exactly. But yeah, all the rest, no.
Otherwise, stop telling people what to do.
Unless you have a Karen, I put.
What do you mean?
Unless you have a Karen, you know, Karen is an attention hoarder who seeks shock value wherever she goes.
Oh,
you know, if you have a Karen, I don't know. I feel like the gloves get to come off for that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
If Karen, you're reading this, you're exempt. You must wear exactly this.
Like Jessica Rabbit shouldn't show up.
Yes.
I don't know.
You know, like, she's just coming. And I think for our helpful advice part of the fuck it bucket, like, we should comment on the whole question that we get asked all the time in our group and other groups. Is this too much white on what I'm wearing?
Yeah.
All the time we see this. So I would venture to say, and you can tell me what you think, Rebecca, you know, if you have an outfit that has a pattern on it with some white in it, that's fine.
Yeah.
The point is, if you think about a photograph, okay, for a wedding, I want you to picture this. This is a really good way to test out in your head if this outfit's going to be a problem. If you're in a photo of a group at a wedding, are you going to look like someone you're not? Or are you going to grab more attention than the wedding party and the bride?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means no bright red dresses because, again, it's just visually very, very grabby.
Hate on us all you want. We're saying it. I don't care.
Bright, you know, white, solid white patch it. Like,
yeah,
just avoid solid white. Okay.
Yes.
That is going to look like, if in the right context, even if it's like top is all white and then the bottom's not or something, the problem is if you're in the right photo, like, you could look like the bride. You just want to avoid that whole quagmire. Just don't even go down that road. Okay.
Yep.
And just think about, like, if I'm going to be in a photo, am I going to grab all the attention in the photo? Also, am I going to look too similar to, like, bridesmaids who are dressed in this color?
I hate when people do, like, such a similar color.
Yeah.
You know, a shade, a particular shade, and going really close to that shade. I think,
to be fair, though, if you're just a guest and you didn't know and you show up, that's no big deal. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Because
but if you know.
Yeah. If you know, avoid
it. Which I've seen people know in wedding groups, they post a picture of the bridesmaid's dress and they're like, do you think my dress is similar? Yes.
Yes,
Nancy,
I do.
Nancy, it is.
Yeah.
So stop it. Go get something else.
Yeah. Just stop. If you can avoid it, avoid it. If you don't know, it happens by accident. Chances are you're not close enough for it to be a real problem. So don't worry too much, because it's just, if you're immediate family, like, say you're a sister, okay, means you're going to be in a lot of similar photos with the bride and groom as they are with their, or whoever, with their wedding party, their attendees. So you don't want to try to look like you're trying to look like someone you're not. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yep.
Yes. Okay.
And I want to say to couples, send out, when you send out or put it on your wedding website, just say, oh, if anybody's worried, just put it nicely. If anybody's worried about what they should wear or unsure about the dress code or anything like that, you know, just feel free to wear blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Guidelines, man. Guidelines. And like you said, wedding website.
And not weight specific, people.
No. Now, wedding website, good place to put that, I think, for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. So we asked, and you guys really delivered.
I saw you do this and I went, wow, that is a big can of worms she's opening. But that's on Rebecca.
We asked, what are some funny and strange conversations you've had with your significant other? Wow.
Insert my entire marriage here.
You all, you really had some doozies.
Now, I've read nothing, so I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, yay. Awesome. So I've put some in here, and, you know, we'll put some more in next week's episode as well, because they're just too funny. But this one's going in right here, and then next week's will go at the end of next week's episode. Anyways, I was explaining to him what a portmanteau is. Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay. So a portmanteau is like a luggage, you know, the old thick suitcases with the leather on the outside wrapped around it. It's like, you know what I mean? You know, those older,
kind of
almost like a trunk type style one, you know,
if I saw it. Yeah.
Okay. And his reply was, so like Uncle Napkin? I'm like, what is that? Uncle Napkin? Where did he even get that? I don't even, what is an Uncle Napkin?
That was a really pitiful attempt at French is what that was.
Okay, here's another one. Me, thanks for eating chicken wings with me at midnight. My fiance, well, I can't let you stress eat alone. That would be shameful.
That's true.
I think we can all relate to that.
Agreed.
Yeah. We talked about what would happen if we got stranded on a deserted island. I'm a very independent do-it-yourself type, which my fiance is much more laid back and likes to joke around to alleviate any tension. After talking a bit about things like finding food and shelter, he finally looked at me and said, very seriously, it would take like 2 days for you to get annoyed with me and kill me and eat me. I protested and he just looked at me and then I realized, oh God, he was right. I totally would. We've decided the best way to handle our future marriage is to just never get stranded like that together. And he keeps joking he needs to learn some raft building skills.
If he wants to get out of this alive, he sure does.
I love that he knows this about her.
Oh, yeah.
But also, she's now realized this about herself.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Marriage is a journey, people, where you not only learn about others, you learn about yourself.
Here's another one. One of my favorites that immediately comes to mind happened a couple of years ago. I was getting ready to go and photograph a wedding. My now fiance woke up and walked past the bathroom as I was starting to get dressed. Black pants, white tank top, didn't have my blouse on yet. And he goes, aw, there's my working girl. I stopped what I was doing, looked at him and said, excuse me? Him, my worker girl, you're about to go to work, going to go shoot a wedding, make money, working girl.
He doesn't know what working girl means, does he?
Babe, do you not know what a working girl is? Him, a girl who works? Me, it's another name for a sex worker. Him, well then, want to come to bed?
Flawless. Flawless execution.
Oh my God, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Another one. We have a lot of ridiculous conversations, so I'll just tell you the most recent funny exchange we had. Last night, I got home from work and stopped in the living room to kiss him and greet the dogs, then headed directly into the kitchen. All the while, he is telling me about his day, and around about that time, he asks me, anyway, how was your day? I came around the corner with a bottle of wine and no glass and was about to tip the bottle to my lips. I sat down on the couch. He asked me, no glass? I shook my head and told him, that's how my day was. He nodded and proceeded to order pizza and put on Netflix.
Nice.
Well done.
Nice.
Well done.
Very good. Very good.
Me, I hope our children have your eyes. Him, I hope they have your boobs. Me. Like a weird emoji. What? Him. Wait. No. I was trying to compliment your boobs.
It was a good try. It's a good try.
Yeah. That was awkward. A few months after we started dating, I asked my boyfriend, so what would you want to do if we, you know, had an accident? Meaning, of course, getting pregnant.
I was thinking pooping on the floor.
He stops and thinks for a minute and says, well, first I'd call the police. Me, the police? Yeah, then I'd call you a cab so you could leave. What? Why? What the hell would you do to me to need police and a cab? Well, you meant a car accident, right? Have to file a report. You may as well go home. It could take a while. Why? What kind of accident are you talking about? Wow.
Nice.
I love that because you know what? Sometimes I can be a little slower on picking up on things. Mm-hmm. So I feel less alone in the world now.
There you go.
One of the best was he was telling his mom that he had been talking to a childhood friend and she said, Karen who? He replied, Karen Seward from down the street. I heard Karen the Seward.
I first heard that.
I hit him and said, why would you call her that? He looked at me and died laughing. The best was him explaining it to his mom, who also died laughing. It is now a running joke that I confused C-word with the C-word.
I think she listens to this podcast too much also.
Yes. My boyfriend thinks he is so clever sometimes. One memory in particular was when we were talking about those traditional cutesy nicknames that couples use, like honey, darling, dear. And when we got to deer, he said, why do people use deer?
Oh, no.
Deer are such lame animals. Antelope are much cooler. I'm going to call you antelope from now on. No matter how much I protested, the name stuck. So now we call each other antelope on the regular.
Very nice.
That's hilarious.
That's very nice.
Dear, D-E-A-R. I have a few, so I'll share more in a bit, but this one was recent and I died laughing. So my boyfriend got up to pee in the middle of the night. He got back in bed and pulled me over to cuddle and whispered in my ear, don't worry, we'll do an autopsy, but hopefully they won't figure out how you died.
What the fuck?
I honestly didn't have a response, so it's more of a one-liner than a combo, huh?
Was he awake?
No.
I was just like, I really hope that was sleepwalking and sleep peeing and all that. Oh.
I would die. I would be like, oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. Went grocery shopping the other day. Husband pulls out his phone to look at a list and says, first thing on the list, a vodka do. Oh my God. It took a second to register what the hell he had just said. And I couldn't stop laughing for a good 10 minutes.
Oh, avocado.
Avocado. The looks people were giving me were priceless. I would laugh too. That's amazing.
The saddest part is that I had it in writing in front of me. And it still took me like a good 4 seconds.
Oh my God. I got home from work late and was stressed because I had a lot to do that night. So I took out all the ingredients when I got home and started washing dishes because I didn't want to add to the existing mess. He brings out pots and pans and starts cutting vegetables for toppings. He could see I was trying to finish everything quickly, so he asks, want me to start wrapping? I say, yes, please. There's silence, and I'm just going hard on the dishes and putting away clean things. I don't see him move, so I turn to ask to him and ask, do you need anything? He responds with a straight face, I need a beat. We start cracking up and I tease him to stick to his guitar and leave the rapping to me. He's into metal and I like hip hop. It was a nice release from my flustered, stressed mind. That's amazing.
I need a beat. I was like, I heard it and I got it and I just waited for the other shoe to drop. That's great.
He suggested that we went to the water zoo on holiday. Took us a good 20 minutes afterwards to remember the word aquarium.
Water zoo.
Oh my God, I do that all the time though when I can't think of a word. Oh.
No, the aquarium is now the water zoo. I don't even care what it's called.
Walking around the gardens in town, wife points out the water spitting thing. The fountain, honey. The fountain.
It's called a fountain.
Okay. So we got, in quotes, an eggplant emoji, a cat emoji, and a water emoji.
Oh, I so have this down. Okay.
My fiance describing wedding night. Mind you, this was said out loud. It's been a while and he's getting antsy.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And our last one for this week. So, one day I received a text from my boyfriend. Your bag lady died. Me.
What?
Me. What? Him. Kate Spade. Guys, I own one bag. I have no idea how he picked up on this.
Your bag lady died. I thought he meant like the woman at the grocery store that bags her food. You know, like, oh, your favorite bag lady died. You know, Sue.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Quick, think of the next time you have to get on an airplane because you need an excuse to buy this suitcase now. Away makes the coolest suitcase on the market. Away knows that everyone has a different travel style. That's why they make their carry-on in an array of colors, two sizes, and two materials. A strong yet flexible polycarbonate and an anodized aluminum. I got the carry-on.
There is a 100-day trial on everything Away makes. Take it out on the road and live with it. Travel with it. Get lost with it. If you decide it's not for you, you can return any non-personalized item for a full refund.
The moment I picked up the suitcase they sent me, I was just absolutely blown away by how lightweight it is, yet strong. I'm not a big person, so the fact that I could actually have a suitcase that's not super heavy to carry on and off airplanes is a huge deal. It moves around so effortlessly, and I think, honestly, my favorite part, the fact that I could charge my phone with it. Also, the color. It's pink. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/secretlife and use promo code secretlife during checkout. Visit awaytravel.com/secretlife and use promo code secretlife during checkout. Okay, guys, finally, we have part two of our Canadian wedding saga. We had this bad boy a couple weeks ago. So go back to part one if you haven't heard it. Okay, this is part two. Recap. My cousin Jess is getting married in Canada, and I've been roped into escorting my step-grandmother Heidi to Canada for their wedding. Part one ended with Heidi in hospital for medical tests. Fortunately, my step-grandmother is fine. All of her scans come back clear, and it looks like it was just an infection that Heidi didn't bother telling anyone about until it was serious. Gotta love old people for that. My mother, an actual medical doctor, calls Heidi every day to check on her, and yet Heidi still won't tell her when she's feeling sick because she doesn't want to be a bother. So the trip is still on. One afternoon, I get a call at work from my dad's secretary, who says that my dad has suggested I volunteer to make Jess's wedding cake, since I'm a pretty good baker and wanting to open my own bakery in a few years. I laugh incredulously and say, no, the secretary says, yeah, that's what I thought you'd say, and drops the topic. Instead, she goes over what she needs to make sure that my parents have for me in their kitchen so I can make the cake my dad has ordered for his birthday coming up. Sounds like the dad thinks she's like a cake factory, but anyway. I think that's the end of it. Then I get an email from my Aunt Rachel asking me to volunteer to make Jess's wedding cake. I decline, pointing out that a wedding cake is a big responsibility and I'd be dealing with foreign ingredients and a strange kitchen and that I didn't feel I could do that. Rachel gets really upset, but I stay firm and start making plans to stay in a hotel downtown rather than at Rachel's house. Oh, I would say that's a good idea. After all, the wedding is going to be at Rachel's house. And both Rachel and Jess are pretty high strung on a good day. I imagine neither of them is going to be exactly calm in the lead up to the wedding, and there isn't enough Prozac in the world to get me to stay in an isolated country home with them and my step-grandmother for over a week without someone ending up dead. My mom, showing a startling level of sense, agrees that Jess and Rachel plus Heidi plus wedding preparations equals stressful as fuck. So she asks Rachel's sister if Heidi can stay with her in the lead up to the wedding, and Heidi will stay at Rachel's after the wedding. Sadly, Rachel's sister is lovely and I adore her, but she's a hoarder. And the last time I stayed there for my cousin Scott's wedding, I was in a room full of creepy dolls. So when my mom suggested I stay there as well, I politely decline. The save the dates come out. And because the wedding is over Thanksgiving weekend, it covers all 3 days. There is a meet and greet on the God, that sounds exhausting. I'm just saying. There is a meet and greet on the Saturday in the groom's hometown down in the States, and then the wedding on the Sunday at Rachel's house, and then the brunch will also be there on Monday. I look at the amount of paperwork traveling to the States for an afternoon would mean for me. Did you know you need a different visa to enter Canada depending on whether you are driving or flying? And at the fact, our government has just issued an advisory against travel to the States due to increased gun violence and risk of terrorism. Wow, there's like an actual warning. Didn't even know that. And decide against going to the meet and greet. I reach out to a former colleague who now lives in Canada, and we make plans to head to a hockey game that night instead. That's a very Canadian decision to make. Good job. I'm from a country where our winters are just wet and windy, so the idea of a sport played on ice is fascinating to me. I research other things to do when I'm in Canada and start getting excited about the trip. I visit my parents for my dad's birthday, making his cake as requested, and while I'm there, his brother Jeff calls to wish him happy birthday. They have a long chat, the result of which is that my dad reports that apparently Rachel and Jess are finding organizing a wedding themselves at home a bit stressful. My parents have run a popular function venue in their town for over 20 years, so we greeted this news with a complete lack of shock and fuck ton of sarcasm because we are salty like that. Jeff also reports that Jess is getting cold feet. She and Noah have always been a bit on again, off again. And according to Jeff, Jess isn't sure if she really loves Noah, but she's worried that if she doesn't marry Noah, then she'll never marry anyone and will die an old maid, which Jess declares would be the greatest shame ever experienced by a woman ever. I roll my eyes so hard I nearly sprain something and then point out that I am the spinster of the family. Jess needs to get her own niche. She's like, bitch, stay in your lane. Then the invitation comes out, and holy shit, what have I got myself in for? The meet and greet on Saturday, which I decline going to when I RSVP because I'm a polite bitch. I love this girl. She's great. Is going to be 9 hours long. 9 hours. It's a 5-hour walk around town. Oh my God. Followed by 4 hours of light snacks and games. And that's not counting the hour plus it will take to drive there from Canada and deal with the border crossing. Holy hell. My question for you, Lisa and Rebecca, is this. Is it normal for North America to organize a big party the day before your wedding? I was a bridesmaid for my friend a few years ago, and the day before the wedding, we did a quick rehearsal at the venue to cover who would be walking with who, where we'd stand at the front of the church, and what songs needed to be played when. Then us girls headed to the bride's house for pizza and an early night because we knew the next day would be fucking exhausting. The guys went to the groom's parents' house and largely did the same thing, though without the hair curlers we had. Everyone I've mentioned it to down here thinks it's completely insane. Weddings are exhausting enough on their own. So let's quickly answer that. Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
Yeah, and no. No one does that.
No.
Like, they really don't.
Typically, the day before, you'll see, there will be a rehearsal quite often. Yeah. And then there's a semi-formal dinner.
Yes.
Usually that's hosted by the parents.
Yeah, that's generally the extent of it. It's not usually more
It can
than
either
that.
Be that fancy, or it can be even way more chill, the way yours was. But, that's typically it. Yeah. Back to the invitation. The wedding itself is going to be mid-afternoon. And to quote from the invitation, our entertainment is relying on you. Lip syncs. Oh, no. Oh, my God. That's not good. Remember, the goal is laughter and fun, not perfection. So the more goofy, the better. Costumes encouraged. There can always be time for more songs if you change your mind at the last minute. What the fuck? I start to get a bad feeling about my chances of getting a drink at this thing. So I message Scott, Jess's oldest brother, to check if it's a dry wedding. He says it's not, and that he'll be drinking. And I'm welcome to help empty his bottle of gin. But by his count, a good half of the guests are non-drinkers because they're the people Jess met when doing missionary work in Africa. Since the wedding is out in the country, I book a hotel in the nearby town for the night between the wedding and the brunch rather than relying on staying with family. So if it all gets a bit much, I can quietly call a taxi and retreat to a nice quiet hotel room with a book. That is the smartest thing you've done this entire story, I think, for sure. I asked the group chat with my cousins what snacks they want me to bring over since it's hard to get our food in Canada, and asked Brandon and Scott if they have a room for me to stay the two nights between the brunch and my flight home. I joke that I will swap cupcakes for accommodation. Brandon says he and his family are heading out of town after the wedding, but I can stay at their place anyway, and Scott offers his spare room. And then Jess chimes in. She and Noah love cupcakes. Why don't I just stay at Aunt Rachel's with them? I can have a foam mattress on the floor since the house will already be full of wedding guests, but they'd just love for me to stay. Okay, that was like a bad question to ask in that group. I'm just saying, you totally set yourself up for a bad answer. I would have been like all over that hotel for the extra 2 days. Damn the cost. It's worth it at that point. Let's see. Sleep on a foam mattress on the floor in a house which will, by that time, contain my aunt and uncle, my step-grandmother, a bunch of random wedding guests, and seemingly also the bride and groom. Or go and stay with Scott and his family who will be at work or preschool during the day and are a 10-minute bus ride to the central city. As a 32-year-old woman who is too old and tired to sleep on the floor unless absolutely necessary, I accept Scott's offer and just leaves the group chat in a huff. A few days later, she emails me asking me to send her a photo of you by yourself or with Heidi or with my parents if you have any, at least 2 megabytes, so high quality. I scroll through the email and see that she initially sent this request to my mom, who told her to woman up and contact me directly. Nice one, mom. The following is the emails between me and Jess. I'll try and find one. When do you need it by? I know I don't have any recent ones of me and Heidi. As soon as possible. Jess, 2 hours later. Just one of you would be fine. Jess, a half hour after that. I need your photo. Now. It's the middle of my work day, but I sort through the photo. I'd been like, why? Why are you harassing me at this point for a photo of myself? Like, what are you doing? Is this going up on a board at the wedding? Are you setting me up on a date? Like, what's the deal? It's the middle of my workday, but I sort through the photos I have on Google Drive and manage to find a total of 8 photos of me taken in the last 5 years. Hopefully, she'll pick the one where I'm standing with my foot on a barbell at the gym like a proud hunter. It was my personal best lived. Or the one where I'm in a formal lava, a sarong, for a work event, because I look really happy in those two and carry on with my day. Not much else happens after that. When I post a picture of the cake I made for a friend's birthday on Facebook, Sally comments, I hope you'll bake a cake for Jess's American dinner. My oven works very well. I thank her for the kind words, but say that I'm not going to the American dinner as I have plans in Canada that night. This doesn't go over well. The day of our departure sneaks up quickly, and Heidi and I make it onto our flight with no problems. I went to my doctor before I left and got some sedatives to take on the plane, and Heidi is pissed because she can't sleep on planes. We're on opposite sides of the aisle, and every time she gets up to go to the bathroom, she wakes me up, basically out of spite. She just stands up and smacks her in the face and then walks to the bathroom. But we make it to Canada. In one piece. I hand her off to Sally and her husband, who give me a lift to my hotel, and I settle in to enjoy Tim Hortons and ice hockey and poutine and to track down some Joe Louis. They prove surprisingly elusive. Wow. So that is part two. Let's continue that next week, shall we, Rebecca?
Yep.
Awesome.
Part three, final part. Yep.
Hang in there.
There we go.
Hang in there.
And double D's.
Double D's.
I got a divorce one because, you know, it's been all dating lately.
It has been all dating lately, but dating leads to divorce. So, I mean, marriage. Yes. It's okay. Go on.
My uncle represented this guy getting a divorce from his wife of 15 years. Super toxic breakup, and they split everything 50-50, even the land that the house they lived in sat upon. Wow. Well, she decides to build a house right behind the other house. Mind you, this was a lot of land, probably 200 yards separating both home sites. So that the back of the houses faced each other. The house gets built and my uncle gets a call from his client asking about the legality of a situation he had gotten himself into. Apparently, his ex-wife would spend a lot of time in her backyard, so he saw her all the time. What he did was buy a female dog and name it the same name as his ex-wife. Anytime he would let his dog back in from letting her out, he would yell, Susan, you bitch, get in here. He would also yell if she was peeing on the flowers, Susan, you bitch, quit pissing on the flowers. Or Susan, you bitch, quit digging in the dirt. Oh, no. The ex-wife called the cops on him a couple of times, but there was nothing they could do because the dog was registered under the name of Susan. And it was, in fact, a bitch. So there you go.
That's actually fabulous. That's
world class vengeance.
Yeah.
I love it.
World class petty. It's just fabulous. Yep. Life can be unpredictable. Sometimes in life, you just don't know what's going to happen. So when life gets unpredictable, you don't want that to affect your bank account. So whether you want to lower your monthly expenses or pay off debt sooner, Earnest Student Loan Refinancing has a solution for you. If you're still paying the same rate you were when you graduated, odds are that you could reduce your monthly payment and save big. Even if you've refinanced before, with today's low rate environment, most people can save by refinancing again. Earnest is the easiest way to refinance your student loan, saving you time and money. Checking your new rate is fast and easy. To start, complete a few questions online. It only takes 2 minutes, and you'll get a personalized rate estimate, all without affecting your credit score, which is so important. If you qualify, Earnest offers customizable loan terms and no fees. You can even combine private and federal loans. Imagine having one single monthly payment with one low rate. Already refinanced a loan? No problem. You can still be eligible to lower your interest rate again. Plus, the internet loves Earnest's customer service. They're rated 9.4 out of 10 on Trustpilot, so you'll always get the support you need. Start saving today. Our listeners get $100 cash bonus when you refinance a student loan at earnest.com/secretlife. That's $100 cash bonus when you refinance a student loan at earnest.com/secretlife. Go to earnest.com/secretlife today. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. We cannot forget to thank our patrons this week. Our new ones, Nicole L and Pia S. They went to patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings to get more drama for their llamas.
Yay!
Yay, woohoo! You can also head over to Flick Chat if you prefer that and get extra content there. But don't forget, on Patreon, first 10 episodes are free. So hit that up.
There you go.
Oh, so I didn't get to tell you about this back when it happened because it happened right, I don't know, a week or two before Halloween, and I forgot and we were just busy. Anywho, I don't think I talked about this on the podcast yet. It was just another hilarious, of course, Jill moment. So she had her her photos taken. Did I tell you about what happened in this year's?
I think, did you share it in the group maybe?
Yes.
Because I feel like I know this.
I shared it in the group, but I didn't share it on the show. So I just wanted to quickly give these guys an update. Because as you may recall, last year she wore the big honkin' Super Bowl or whatever World Series ring. The Marlins World Series ring that Justin brought home for her. She snuck it to school. You know, we've carefully like picked her outfit. She's like freaking, she's like an SK. Right now she's not even out of kindergarten, people. So, you know, she's five. So last year when she was four, she snuck this ring in her bag. She puts it on and we're like, did the photographer tell you to take that off? She's like, no. So anyway, she did this. It became one of our proudest moments of her. Actually, we ended up ordering 8x10s and everything of this because it was so hilarious. So this year we picked out everything. It was an adorable little unicorn dress and a little like bolero. And, you know, I did her hair and she found a bow at the last minute in the car. So I put it on her hair and she's adorable. I curled her hair. She's all, you know, all coordinated. And then I get her photos back and she's got this big ass ugly bracelet on. And I'm like, what the fuck, Jillian? What is that? I didn't say what the fuck to my 5-year old, but I was like, what is that? And she goes, it's a bracelet. I said, where'd you get that from? She said, my best friend Gwen gave it to me. And I'm like, but it's like this big, ugly, like was made in the 80s or 90s orange metal bracelet with beads on. I'm like, okay, this is such a Jill moment. She goes and gets it, pulls it out. I'm like, wow. So then I get on the phone with her dad. And I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
Keeping in mind, she thinks it's awesome.
Yes.
So I'm talking about it. I'm like, she did it again. And so I tell Justin about it. And I mention how it's like she's wearing this big, ugly bracelet. I get off the phone. She is so fucking mad at me. Because said that, she's like, you said it was ugly. I said, oh, yeah, no, I'm kidding. It's beautiful. It's beautiful because Gwen gave it to you, right? She's like, yeah, because her bestie, Gwen. I was like, Gwen gave it to you, right? Yeah. And she was so pissed. But to be in my defense, she will take anything as an excuse to get mad at me. Like anything.
Yeah.
The sky is blue. It's your fault, mummy. Like that's just where we are in our relationship right now. Yes. But I was like, she was all sad and angry. And I was like,
aw.
Damn it. I was like, no, it's beautiful. Now I have to be so careful as to what I say. Yep. Even more so.
You're at that age now, though, too. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're actually listening now. They're paying attention to what you're saying.
I don't think Liam is listening. He's 8.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Because they might they may never comment on it, but they do. It's kind of crazy what they know.
No, Jill does. Jill for sure. Liam, I can barely get him to listen when he is listening. So I don't think he is, but I think Jillian is, yes, despite the age. So she's been a little bit wild lately, but I think what it is she's just tired of it always being me around, you know, because right now I'm studying and at school and doing that stuff, right? And I'm hoping the tables will turn back and I'll be able to be the one working all the time and Justin will be able to be home with the kids, because it's just just how we're suited. Some people, some families, it's just that's how it works for us. This is fine. I can do this for a while, the stay-at-home mom thing, but it's not my jam.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm better
and
at
that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be. You know what I mean?
And as long as you got someone in your corner that it is their jam, awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to work.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just like how some people love to work and some people hate to work, right? It's
Yeah.
I like to work. But yeah.
Exactly. Same, right? So cross your fingers for me. But fun, right? What else is going on with you?
My daughter, I guess I can say it now because she's come out. So
yay,
she's out. So my daughter is a pansexual. So
cool.
Yeah. And she has a girlfriend.
Can I get like a super basic definition? Because I'm going to clarify what I think it is. And then you tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
I think a pansexual is where gender doesn't matter and they're attracted to the person. Is that right?
Exactly.
Yay. Yes. I did right. I did it. Okay.
As someone so lovingly put it to me, hearts, not parts. So
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's very much that. Yep. She's fully come out and everything. And she has a girlfriend and she's super happy. And I love her girlfriend. She's the sweetest thing.
I didn't know she had a girlfriend.
Yes. Yes. So they're trying to decide, trying to get to know each other a little better, because I suggested that before, you know, because they're young and
that's good for anybody.
Like, yes. Yeah. Yes. And she was unsure how to ask her and stuff because her girlfriend's very shy and, you know, and my daughter's not. So, you know, anyways. So, yeah, I'm super happy because, I mean, she actually shared a text with me that her girlfriend sent her. And I was just like, I fucking cried because I love that. Yeah, they're only 15, but the level of appreciation she has for my daughter, I want that at 41. Like, you know,
yeah.
It was so beautiful. And she was saying, because my daughter's very hard on herself. She's very insecure about her looks and stuff. And she's
every 15 year old is.
Like, she's very tall and broad and stuff, right? She's, you know, bigger than all her friends and her girlfriend.
She's also gorgeous.
You know, yeah. She's beautiful. Oh my God. I love, she's so like Amazon to me, my daughter, right? Because she's so much bigger than me. So I'm like, you're so beautiful. I love it.
She's Wonder Woman.
And her friend and now her girlfriend to say, like, before they even started dating, telling her how beautiful she thinks she is. And and her heart is, she appreciates her heart because she's so kind and like
it was just cry on
I
this
know
podcast.
It
it's
was
not okay.
So amazing, like just this whole paragraph she sent her and she showed me and I started crying. My daughter's like, oh mom, and I'm like, that's so beautiful though.
She's like, can she be my girlfriend?
Yes, right. I was just like, oh my God.
Aww.
So anyways, yeah, and you know, and now family knows and everything, so yeah,
good for her. I'm
and
so
I was
proud
very
of her.
Respectful, like I as you know, like I haven't told anybody. It was up to her when she was ready. And, you know, it's taken her about a year before she was ready to really start telling people. Jump. And she slowly just started telling people this past summer. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Congratulations to her. That's so exciting. I can't imagine the freedom that must give you in your heart. Like, I'm sure it's very scary, but I imagine the freedom, the weight lifted.
Yeah.
Would be worth
she was
it.
Yeah, I think she was more scared. She was more scared with family, like grandparents and her best friends. She was really worried because she wasn't sure if they would be accepting. And then she realized they are. And I'm like, of course they are. Everyone loves you. Like, oh my God.
I'm so super happy to hear that. That's yay. Good news.
I know. And they're going on a date today.
Thank you for the good news today. I needed that this week.
Right. I mean, seriously, I cannot. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Anytime I feel bummed this week, I'm going to think back to that and how nice.
Yeah. And she's so cute. You know, what's so funny, I have to say, is that when she first came out to me, it was funny. Like in our house, it was funny because I already knew.
You're like, well, duh.
I was like, I already knew. So I when she was sitting there, some of the things she was talking about was relating to, you know, different things. And I just made it easier for her. And I have to encourage all parents to do this. Truly. I'm not saying it's the right way to do it, but I made it easier for her to say something to me because I sat there and I said, you do know that it does not matter to me at all whatsoever who you're attracted to or who you're with or who you end up with. I mean, as long as they're not a serial killer, I don't care.
Yep.
I love you regardless. And just so you know. And she kind of looked at me and she went, yeah, right. And I'm like, I don't know whatever gave you the idea that I'm not open.
You're like, child.
I'm not sure where you got that from.
So but basically what you're saying is like, don't assume your kid knows that because they don't.
It's because she goes to a Catholic school.
Oh, sure.
So she assumed, which is really actually very funny to me because I grew up and my aunt is gay and I couldn't give a shit. Like,
yeah,
you be whatever you want to be. But it's so funny. She was still, I guess it's just that nervousness, not knowing how your parent will react. Right. And I was just like, I'm so sorry that you ever thought that you couldn't tell me.
Yeah.
I apologize for that because I should have been probably way more open about it then.
Oh, girl, you are like mother of the year with this stuff. This is amazing.
No, but you know what I mean? I hate that she even had that little bit of doubt that
I think
that I might react poorly. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't ever want my kids to feel that way.
It's not your fault. That's just the society. People hear the horror stories about people coming out to their parents and what happens. And I think even if you have a wonderful parent like you, you just retain that 1% of what if they say one thing, but when it's really them, they won't walk the walk.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that's, I think, the ongoing fear.
Yeah.
But you, I think your suggestion of taking the preemptive step of saying, I accept you no matter what, opens that door for them to walk through it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So, yay. Yeah.
And I
Good
think that
you.
Was the problem is that I never addressed that before. I never said, I'm fine with whatever. I don't know why I didn't. I guess I just didn't think to.
It's just not a thing you would necessarily just say out of the blue, I suppose. But you know what? I'm totally going to do that when my kids are old enough and they're getting to that point of their life. I'm totally going to have that convo with them. We're going to sit them both down, probably together, and be like, look, the both of you.
Yeah.
Just so you know, this is how it is in this family. If you don't like it, y'all can get out. But
yeah,
no. Seriously, you know, you're accepted no matter what. We love you no matter what.
Yeah.
And
it's funny. She's like, when did you know? And I'm like, you were like 8 years old and I knew.
Really?
Probably before that, but at 8, I knew.
No way.
Yeah. When she was 8, I knew. And I can't tell you how I knew. I don't know.
You just
I think I just picked up on things.
Yep.
That she said. You know what I mean? It's not anything she did or how she dresses or anything like that. It's just things that she has said. And I kind of, but I'm like that, right? I pick up on things that people say all the time and I kind of just store it.
Can I tell you something that'll like warm your heart that I thought was so cool? My kids came home this year from school. So Liam's in grade 2, Jill's in SK.
Yeah.
So this was taught in Liam's class. It was social studies, and to clarify, he goes to a public school. So there's no, you know, it's not Catholic or anything. And he's like, yeah, we learned about family units today. And I said, oh, awesome. Okay, cool. So like, tell me about some family units. He goes, okay, well, there's the two parent family with kids like us. And I said, yeah. And he goes, and then there's, and they don't, it's amazing because they don't say it like nuclear family anymore with mommy and daddy. And they don't define it like that. They go, there's the two parent family with kids. Yeah. There's the two adult family with no kids. There's the, and he goes, there's the same sex family. There's, and I was just like, oh my God, that's so awesome. They're actually teaching them about, you know, same-sex marriage with kids and stuff. I just thought that
they
was
need
so
to.
Great.
Yes, like, I agree.
Because we go out of our way to, I guess, just normalize everything to the point. I'm just so excited that they're growing up in a world that it's normal. Do you know what I mean? Like it's different. It really was. I know the 80s is not that far ago, but it feels so long ago in something like this.
Yeah.
The way they are seeing society and growing into society is so inherently different than when I was a kid and when you were a kid.
Oh God, yes.
It's so neat for me as someone who's incredibly supportive of, you know, LGBTQ and gay marriage and all of it.
Yep.
I'm just so excited for it. So I think it's so neat that it's normal. Like, I'll be watching Grey's Anatomy, which, by the way, I'm on like season 13 now, I think.
How are you not done yet?
I'm getting so close to the end of where I'm like up to date.
Yeah.
I watch that around the kids because the worst really that happens is they see some, you know, surgery. And I'm like, well, maybe they'll be a surgeon one day. This is good parenting.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'll occasionally watch it and Jill will be like, what happened to that guy? You know, and they ask me questions like that. But anyway, there's like a couple lesbian relationships happening on that show, right? So it's great. I think it's actually a really good teachable moment because, you know, Jill especially, she'll be like, she's very inquisitive and very observant, right? So she's only 5, but she's like, why are they kissing? Like, what's up there? I'm like, oh, well, they're married or they're together.
Yeah.
Or she'll ask, she'll always go, I said, oh, they love each other. That's usually my answer. And she goes, are they married? And sometimes I'll be like, yep, they're married, or no, they're not, depending on the relationship. And then it's so funny because then she asks me questions. Then I have to explain how I said, yeah, it doesn't matter. And essentially, hearts, not parts. I explain that to my 5-year-old.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, okay. When I grow up, I'm going to marry Gwen. And I said, you can. I said, if you want. But I know where she's coming from. So now I have this other issue we never had as kids. Our parents never had of I have to try to explain the difference between romantic love and friendship love.
Yes.
And it used to be easy because 9 times out of 10, it was like, well, if you're a girl, like if it's a boy, it's romantic.
Yeah.
If it's a girl, you're friends. Like it was really easy for our parents to. Right now I have to be like, well, and then I have to think of examples. I have to be like, you know how like your daddy and I love each other and we're married and we.
Yeah.
You know, we had
babies. She's still young, though.
She's so young. And so I explained.
She's still young to explain that, too, because
but
they don't
asking,
understand
dude.
The difference. But they don't understand the difference of loves. Yeah.
I know.
And they won't.
So it's just funny because I have to explain. I'm like.
Yeah.
It's because I don't want to be like, well, no, you wouldn't marry Gwen.
Yeah. No.
Who the hell am I? I don't know. Maybe she will.
Yeah.
But. And she can. I don't want to think she can't. So it's this hilarious balancing act with my 5-year-old being like, well, kind of. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's funny. But I'm just very happy and super proud that my kids are growing up in such a cool way right now.
Yes. Yeah.
In relation to that.
I agree. That's awesome.
And Justin is, too. He's extraordinarily proud of them for that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
It's really cool. So that was your little feel good moment of the
there
Secret
you go.
Weddings this week, right? Oh my gosh. I can't wait to get to part 3. Oh, by the way, quick update, ghost photo update.
It's not the dad.
It's not.
And we're waiting to hopefully talk to the venue owners. So
We're waiting to get permission to do that through the client. So stay tuned.
This is a long process.
it's a long process. So just stay tuned. But we're going as fast as we can. We will keep you posted because the only other thing she said, though, is the bride sent Rebecca an email saying it could be this assistant it was the assistant of like the hair and makeup person.
Yeah.
Didn't look like her to me.
No, I don't think so.
Just because she has short hair. But I was like, dude's bald. He's bald all the way around. So I don't know what to tell you. I don't buy that. So, I can't wait for you to talk to the owners, hopefully.
Yeah.
So this week,
fingers crossed. Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Secret Life of Weddings podcast. And Rebecca?
Anything can happen at weddings.
And we will be here to tell you all about it.
Well, that's it for us this week on the Secret Life of Weddings podcast. If you need more drama in your life, go over to patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings to sign up for additional weekly episodes. The first few episodes are free, so go check it out, patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings, and we will see you here next week.